Jock Leeson here, the podcasting beast from the East, with the Professor John Guy, the King of RNG, the Troll Master, the Terminator, the Cleaner, all of the above. John Gotti, how you doing, sir?
You know, Doc told me last night, you know what, man, this game is pretty much done. Just go to sleep. Let Mr. Sandman sprinkle some dust into your eyes so you can enter dreamland. And Steeler Nation was like, Docie, hold your horses, because Steelers going to Super Bowl.
Steelers going to Super Bowl. Steelers going to Super Bowl.
Which is all I heard while I was listening to a live stream of Urinating Tree. Also, big shout outs to him for hitting 500,000 subscribers. So not only was he freaking out because of the game, he's also freaking out because he literally hit it. I watched it happen. I wasn't one of the 500,000 during the stream because I was already subscribed to him, but that's besides the point. What a game, Doc. What a game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the unfortunate news during the game. And I was waiting until I got confirmation from a reliable source before I had to provide this news to one Doc El Idolo, our tribal chief, the Sultan of Squat, the head of the table, and Los Tranquilo, as Doc and I are sending our condolences to the friends and family of one Demaryius Thomas, who passed away last night. 33, bro.
Yeah, very sad, very somber the evening.
The latest news was he was found passed away in his home out in Georgia. That was the last I heard this morning. So we don't know exactly what caused it just yet, but of course, as we hear more, we will let you know. But we want to send our immediate condolences before we begin our normal shtick into debate amongst friends, because that was wild.
Yeah, that I think. Well, of course, I went to sleep right before that news broke, or at least I turned all of my electronics. And that is very sad. Great player, great person. I'm sure the NFL community is definitely feeling it today. And again, we would like to wish our condolences to the Thomas family. Now, this game, at that point, was still, I think, 29-0. By the time you messaged me, based on the timeline I saw from the YouTube.
It was around the time the Steelers got their first touchdown.
So when I went to sleep, it was 26-0 or 23-0, excuse me. The Vikings had 300 yards offense. Steelers couldn't pick up anything, couldn't run the ball, couldn't pass the ball.
Nope.
Dalvin Cook had over 150 yards. It just looked like this game was over. I don't know why and how the Vikings stopped running the ball so effectively, but I mean, I don't know whether to credit the Steelers or discredit the Vikings.
Both. It's both. It's both.
But, I mean, I credit the Steelers for not giving up.
It was also, you know, scoring too. There was a taunting call that kind of, you know, led to that first touchdown. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, really? That's taunting?
Yeah, you can't look down at a person and flex. Taunting, bro.
That's
taunting. You can flex. You can flex in the air, you know what I'm saying? But you can't, like, almost
now,
half
now
Allen Iverson
someone. And, like, if he were the Allen Iverson, someone.
It was pretty close. He just didn't step over him. He looked down. He flexed, right? That's it. That's the hump in the air.
We've seen that happen, though. We saw this happen on Sunday. like, it's not like this is the first time this has happened this year. And
I would have to see it.
Oh my goodness.
You just can't do it. I mean, it's taunting. No,
and I get like you that, can't do it. But oh no.
you want it to be consistent.
I want it to be consistent. That's all I want.
I saw it. You know,
all I want it's is close. Consistency when it comes to this taunting nonsense stuff. That's it.
Like I said, if he would have just hit him and then did the little trot 5 yards away and it would have been fine. It's just like in flag football. Like in flag football, you can curse. Mm-hmm. You just can't curse at another player. Mm. Like, it's weird. You can't curse at another player. But like, if you're cursing at yourself, like, you know, dang it. Oh, man, I done dropped the pass or I missed the flag or whatever. But if you're like in somebody's face and like, you're like, man, you're a piece of crap. You know what I'm saying? You didn't throw a flag. Or if you do that toward the referee or, you know, whatever, like, you just can't do it.
Player, you're the drizzling, and he'll get flagged real fast.
No, I don't think so. That's not what I would do. I would never do that. But, I mean,
I got a tech yesterday just for looking, by the way. I got Rashid.
That's not true. You know exactly why you got the tag. Why don't you knock it over?
I don't.
You know exactly why.
But of course, the other storyline in the game, Chase Claypool, Doc. What's going on with this guy? Like, it's about mental errors. He got the unnecessary roughness for pointing his finger at Breland. Like, he put his finger into his helmet after a play.
Now, is that taunting or unnecessary?
They called it unnecessary roughness.
Oh, wow. Again, that's one of those things. Did he poke him in the eye or something?
No. It was like...
That's unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, I thought that would have been more taunting. But what do I know, right?
And then the final drive, for some reason... He caught the ball. Yes. It was a first down. And this fool decided to flex with the ball. The time is ticking, Doc. They don't got no timeouts left. I think it was like 32 seconds after the play ended, and they finally spiked the ball at 24 seconds. You don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's a mental
error. I'm sure Mike Tomlin will, you know, get on him about
it. His own linebacker was absolutely livid at him. Like,
you know, I read something earlier today, and you'll probably agree. Sometimes people play too much for the name on the back of the jersey than the name on the front.
Yes, but we've known that for decades.
But that's the problem. I think that's the problem with this. That's the problem with the teams that are losing. Some of the players play more for the player's name, their name on the back, than the name on the front. And Claypool, like, this is why the Steelers have a hard time keeping receivers. It's like there's always one that just has to outshine the others. Yeah. Even though when you really look at it, Deontay Johnson and James Washington, really, you know, if they didn't have Claypool, those guys would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, so he'll find himself on another team very shortly, and his decline will start just like a lot of the other Steeler receivers. But ultimately, the Vikings, you know, won this game off of, you know, a great Dalvin Cook experience. Kirk Cousins, another two picks. He was sharp. I mean, he wasn't as efficient as he was in the previous games.
One of the picks wasn't his fault.
Yeah, but honestly, they shouldn't have been throwing the ball anyway. If we're being honest, they shouldn't have really been throwing the ball for him to even have a pick. I would say he should have ended with one interception. They shouldn't have been throwing the ball for the second one. They should have been running it. I think it was one play before I went to sleep. It was four. It was third and one, and they passed it. And I was like, what the bleep are they doing? And then they ran a quarterback sneak, and they picked it up. But it was just some questionable play calling, but they got the win 36-28.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson had 79 yards. They didn't really go to him a lot in the second half. he did have 15 targets, which is an obscene amount of targets. KJ Osborne with a.
You want me to tell you the worst part is though, like both of them were still pretty catchable balls for him.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I did see a few that were, that definitely were catchable.
And of course, the tip pass one that led to the pick, which is right. One that I don't blame Kirk Cousins for.
Right. But the Vikings move on 6-7. The Steelers 6-6-1. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yep. Big shout out to Dalvin Cook, though, as you mentioned, though. 27 rushes for 205 yards. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we'll come back after these messages.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go over this week's lineup. Let's see who the Professor John Gotti predicts will win and lose playoff implicating games, rivalries, and all.
And
Johnny.
All.
Johnny, we got the Dallas Cowboys. We got the Washington football team, who I believe are on a 3-game winning streak. Dallas, I mean, a lot of people say they look great. I didn't think they looked that great, personally.
I didn't think they looked great either.
The last time they met last year.
And the football team's on a 4-game win streak.
4-game, that's right. They beat the Bucks. They were trash, by the way. The Washington football team, very average at best. It's very funny because the Cowboys have the number one ranked offense, which they don't play like it, but but the number fourth passing attack, number seventh rushing attack, 26th on defense. Can Tyler Heinicke, Taylor Heinicke, can the Heineken reign?
Well, folks, somehow he managed to bring Tyler Breeze into this episode. So,
he dominated the NFC South. Can he do the same in the NFC East? Can the Heineken reign supreme in the NFC? This is for their playoff birth period, I believe. Yep. Their birth period. Yes, they're in the hunt, we know, but this is it right here.
I'm going to go with the football team.
Ooh, I think the Cowboys will figure it out. I'm going to go with the boys for the first time. Well, not for the first time, but confidently for the first time. The last time I was like, I don't know. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-10, headed to Tennessee, 8-4. This should be a slam dunk for the Titans.
You know, I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
I did that last week, remember? Yep. See, I did that last week. Okay, I get it. We got the Seattle Seahawks going to Houston, which is just a dumpster fire for the last couple of years. 2-10. I think they're tanking for the proverbial Tua. I'm going to go with Seattle.
I'm also going to go with Seattle, too. But don't be surprised if the Texans absolutely destroy the Seahawks, though. Because that Seahawks defense is not good.
Yeah, drizzling. We got the Las Vegas Raiders heading to Kansas City. Again, playoff implicating, right? This is it. This is the one. I'm actually going to stick with the Chiefs on this one.
This will be the best offensive game we've seen all season for the Chiefs.
That's a mighty strong read there, sir. That's a mighty strong read. Now, I just want people to know that the Raiders do have the 17th ranked defense, which, you know, we'll see, right? We'll see. And actually, this is a pretty good matchup. I mean, outside of that, the Chiefs look good offensively, fifth in passing, fourth in offense total. The Raiders are second in offense, second in passing. So that's pretty awesome, which I did not know. But John Guy says, expect the Chiefs to light them up. We got the New Orleans Saints heading to New Jersey to play the Jets. 5-7 Saints, 3-9 Jets. Kamara's back. Ingram's out. Taysom Hill still under the center. Johnny, that's so rough. That's so rough.
You going JETS? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm going to go with the Saints. The defense just isn't there yet. 30, they're last in defense. Very, very last. Last in rushing. I think the Saints.
Don't be surprised if this game goes into overtime.
No.
But I'm going to go with the Saints.
It stinks because, like, Robert Saleh is, like, such a defensive, like, great defensive mind. He just doesn't have the pieces just yet. Yep. To make that Saleh run, but I'm going to go with the Saints.
I'm going to feel bad, too, because they're going to end up firing him in, like, another year. No. It's going to stink.
No, he's going to turn it around. I believe it. I believe he's going to turn it around. They're going to open up the checkbook. They're gonna do some things. He's going to turn it around. I believe it. We got NFC South, actually. We got Atlanta ahead of the Carolina. I believe this is their first or second game after Joe Brady's firing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to go with Carolina because I just don't know. The Falcons just don't have that run game.
I'll go. See, it's weird because they have Cordell Patterson who does it all for them.
He's not a running back. That's the problem.
I know.
He's not a running back, and that is the major
issue. I'm going to go Falcons, but, I mean, this is a trap game, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that Panthers have riding for them, I mean, offensively 29th, passing 30th, rushing 16th. Their defense is what keeps them in most games. They're number two in defense. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, this is very bad. Definitely a trap game. But I'm going to go with the Panthers defense. We'll see what the Falcons can do. Next game, I hope it's not a repeat of 2 or 3 weeks ago. Baltimore heading to Cleveland. I'm going to choose Baltimore.
I'm going to go Browns.
Brownies. We got the New York Giants who are potentially without their starting quarterback, heading to the Chargers who are without their starting wide receivers.
Wait, you forgot the 49ers and the Bengals, sir.
I have that at 4:25.
That's at 1 p.m.
On NFL.com?
I'm looking on ESPN. They have it at
They have that game at 4:25.
Okay, maybe they switched it over and it just didn't get it. Okay, please continue.
We got the New York football.
That's a scheduling issue. That's not on us.
I don't know. Yeah, unless they change it. I mean, I got the 49ers. I see it. But we got the New York Giants who are potentially without their quarterback. And we got the Los Angeles Chargers who are without their starting two receivers, among others. I'm still going to go with the Chargers.
I am also going to go with the Chargers. Giants. Their defense finally showed up. Of course, the second half was what happened the second half, which is essentially what we saw last night.
But again, I mean, watch out for Jake Fromm. I mean, I think that he has an opportunity to, like I said, play. We might see something special, possibly.
I'm going to say something that's going to make you laugh. We may see another 4-pick game.
Yikes. We got the Detroit Lions 1-10-1 versus the Denver Broncos 6-6. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
The honeymoon's over, folks.
It is.
Everyone was so high and so happy for the Lions. But, folks, it was so nice they're going to do it twice.
Wow. Lions. That's awesome. I like it. Now, the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers, 6-6, versus the Cincinnati Bengals at 7-5.
This is going to be a really good game.
It is going to be a good game. I'm probably going to choose the Bengals.
I'm also going to go with the Bengals as well.
Boom. Another 4:25 game, we have the Buffalo Bills, who are leaving the cold weather and heading to the sunny side of Florida and Tampa. We got the 7-5 Buffalo Bills. We got the 9-3 Bucks. Let's see who John Gotti chooses.
I'm going with the Buccaneers.
What? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I'm dead serious, actually.
The Bills have the number 11 offense, number 1 defense, number 8 in passing, number 13 in rushing, versus the number 2 offense, the number 9 defense, and the number 1 passing offense in the league. 25th in rushing, Johnny. 25th in rushing.
I'm still going with the Bucks.
He's going with the Bucks.
Wow, you're trying to change my answer. Wow, he tried to put words in my mouth, folks.
Last time these two teams met, October 21st, 2017, Bucks lost 27-30. Obviously, that was before the Goody, the Righty, Thomas Edward Brady joining the Bucks.
Well, I mean, James is also a righty, but I get what you're saying.
The real righty.
Dang.
The real righty. I also will go with the Bucks, despite the fact that I'm terrified of
Stephon because you already jinxed by changing my answer to the Bills.
No. It was an accident. It was a Freudian. It was just like, you know,
it wasn't
them changing the schedule. Them changing the schedule.
He right? wanted me to say the Bills. He needed me to say the Bills.
No, it's fine. It's completely fine.
And if all of a sudden something really, really wrong happened, he knows I'm going to be texting him saying, "You caused this."
No, I didn't. I didn't. It was an accident.
It wasn't an accident.
Bills, Bucks, they start with a B. I mean, we're talking about one vowel off. I mean, come on. Give me a break here. But I think the Bucks will win. It'll be close. It'll probably be that 3-point game. We have to see what Buffalo team shows up. I think a lot of times, again, people play their best football against Tom. It's not against the Bucks. It's against Tom. They'll be coming after Tom without question.
Absolutely.
The one thing about what we saw from the New England game is that, you know, the Buffalo Bills, their rush defense is going to be hungry, which means they may give up more in the pass. This is where you mentioned last week where Tre'Davious White is out. This could come into play, but we'll have to wait and see. We both got the Bucks winning. Sunday night, we got the Chicago Bears headed to lose to the Green Bay Packers.
There you go. That's exactly where I was going to go with too.
Okay. So then it will come back for the Monday night game.
Literally, this whole week has been questions about Aaron Rodgers saying that he owns the Chicago Bears.
I don't think it matters, even if...
No. That was the narrative.
He said, does he regret it? No, he doesn't.
No, of course not. I wouldn't regret saying something like that too.
Yeah. But even if they put in the backup, I think it still would be the same. They're a solid team, and they just we'll have to wait and see. I'd say Buffalo and Tampa, San Francisco versus Cincinnati, the Raiders versus the Chiefs, and the Cowboys versus Washington probably will be the better games of the weekend. We'll see exactly what happens. I didn't expect Pittsburgh and Minnesota to go that deep, but
any given Sunday, any given week, anything is possible.
Any given Thursday, the Vikings are gonna Viking. But Johnny, I know the people heard this podcast on their favorite podcast platform, but if they didn't, they can always go to our website at www.debateamongstfriends.com to review this episode as well as all the previous. Be sure to tune in to Monday as we go over these games, as well as Monday Night Football. But you know, we're going to give you the news, the analysis, and the reads.